Thank you for joining with us here this evening at Bethel Free Presbyterian Church in Enniskillen, in County Fermanagh. Wherever you are listening in online this evening, our prayer is the Lord will richly bless you. If you're a believer in the Lord, may you be drawn closer to your Savior this evening. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, we pray that even tonight you'll come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Put your trust in Christ and know the wonderful blessings of God's so great salvation in your life. You can listen in online to our services here every Lord's Day, every Sunday, 12 noon, 7 p.m., and then every Tuesday night as well at 8 p.m. This coming Tuesday night here at 8 o'clock is our midweek Bible study. We would encourage you to listen in. Pray for that and encourage others also to listen in to God's Word. And then on Friday morning, 11 o'clock, will be our monthly open-air witness in the Diamond in Enniskillen with our brother, Mr. Colin Maxwell. It's normally on a Saturday, but it's changed this month to the Friday, so do note the change. We encourage you to pray for that. God would bless the Word as it would go forth in the open air. That's 11 o'clock in the morning in the Diamond in Enniskillen. Friday night, 6:30 p.m. will be the weekly children's meeting. It will be reconvened here again in the church building, so do take note of that and pray for Gillian and all who help and the boys and girls as they come, that God's blessing would be upon them as they hear God's Word. And then that will also be followed on Friday night at 8 o'clock with our youth fellowship meeting here as well in the church. Be much in prayer for that, and do encourage all the young people to come along. And may it be a time of rich blessing for them and fellowship around the Word of God. Next Lord's Day, that's the 13th of December, we will be meeting here for public worship in the church building. So do please take note of that. Thank God for that, that the house of the Lord, God willing, will be reopened again for the preaching of God's Word. We encourage you to make it known to the members and friends of our congregation. And do pray for God's blessing upon those meetings. Plan to join with us. I would love to see the house of God filled on that Lord's Day with those eager to gather around the Word of God. Sunday school and Bible class will be at 11 a.m., so pray for that. The young people and the teachers there will know God's help. And then morning worship will be at 12 noon, and the evening gospel service at 7, and I'd be along to minister God's Word at both services. Do please pray also for the Reverend Colin Mercer, who's been recently elected to be the new deputy moderator of our presbytery, so do pray for him. And then also do please pray for our brother, the Reverend Paul Foster as well, who's recently elected as the president of our youth council of our denomination. So pray for these brethren in these roles, that they'll know God's help and blessing upon them. And then, as we mentioned this morning, we'd like to express our sincere Christian sympathy to Mrs. Nora Noble and family in the passing of her husband, Cecil. We do assure that family of our prayers at this time that they will know the Lord's comfort, they'll know the Lord's grace, and the Lord drawing near and meeting their need at this time of great loss. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're just going to seek the Lord and look to the Lord for His help tonight. Blessing. We encourage you to pray. Also, wherever you are, join with us in prayer. Pray for the blessing of God upon the reading of His Word and the preaching of the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. Our loving God, our gracious Father in heaven, we thank Thee, O God, that in this the evening of Thy day, we can draw nigh to Thee in prayer through the rent veil of Calvary. We thank Thee afresh tonight for our blessed and only Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, O God, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Father, we thank Thee for that perfect life of Christ, how the Bible tells us He went about doing good. In Him there is no blemish, there was no spot. And, O God, we thank Thee that He went willingly to the cross of Calvary. He could say, I am the good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. Father, we thank that He died an atoning death for lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinners. We thank that in that sacrifice He satisfied divine justice. And Father, we thank that He paid the price of redemption in full. And Father, we thank that He offered a once-for-all a sacrifice for sin. And Father, we thank Thee tonight afresh for that victory that was accomplished by Christ's death upon the cross. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that He is alive forevermore. We thank Thee, Father, that this night we serve and we worship a risen Savior, one who is seated at Thy right hand of the Majesty on high. And Father, we thank that Christ is coming back again in power and in great glory. How I said, I will come again to His people and receive You unto Myself. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And O God, our prayer is this night as we gather around Thy Word, that all who listen, all who join with us around the Word of God tonight, that they too will be prepared and ready and waiting for the coming of the Lord. We thank Thee, Father, for Thy mercies to us throughout today. We thank Thee for Thy presence with us and the blessing of the Lord's day. And, O God, we just thank Thee for help given this morning in the preaching of Your Word. But, Lord, we cannot rest upon past blessings. We need Thee, Lord, afresh tonight. And, Lord, we pray for divine enablement. Bless the reading of Thy Word to our hearts. Bless the preaching of the Word of God to our souls tonight. And, Father, we pray for help. We pray for liberty in the Holy Spirit to preach Your Word. We pray for clarity of thought. We pray for plainness of speech and right words, O God, we pray. And Father, we pray that every word will be as an arrow to the heart of those who would listen in this evening or in future times. Do bless every believer, every child of God who will listen in. Encourage and strengthen and edify Your people. Help us to be a people who do know our God, who will be strong and do exploits, Lord, for Thee in these days. Help us to be conformed more and more to the image of Christ, to die to self, to die to the world, and all that is not of Thee. For any, Lord, listening in online who are maybe backslidden, cold of heart, Lord, restore them afresh to Yourself. O God, we pray. May they realize the folly of Bypath Meadow, we ask. And Lord, draw them back to Yourself in grace and in mercy. For others also listen in online, unsaved, Lord, speak to them. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt awaken them, Lord, to their need of salvation. Awaken them, Lord, to the wrath to come. Awaken to them, Lord, their need of Christ, we pray. And Lord, bring them in simple, childlike faith and repentance unto the Lord for salvation. We thank Thee for the promise of the Word of God, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bless our congregation here. Bless every home and family and household. Meet every need. Remember, Lord, those who are sick and ill and led aside, Lord, strengthen them and bless them. And those in treatment at this time, may they know the touch of God upon them. For others that are shielding, we pray that Thou wilt watch over them and protect them. And those that are shut in, who no longer can gather in the house of God, be very near to them also, we pray. We pray for those who mourn and grieve, who have suffered loss in recent times. Lord, where there is a vacant chair in that home, draw very near, O God, we pray. Give them help. Give them grace in their time of great need. We thank Thee, O God, that we can look forward in Thy will to the reopening of Thy house, even next week. And Lord, may this come to pass. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that we might avail ourselves of that opportunity of this, the people of God, gathering together around Thy Word to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Bless our Sunday school and Bible class, our youth fellowship, the work of the Bethel Children's Crusade. May Your blessing be upon all these endeavors in this community, to the saving of boys and girls, and to the strengthening of young people in the ways of the Lord. Do bless our land tonight, O God. Bless each sister congregation, and wherever the Word of God is faithfully proclaimed, we pray that the blessing of God shall be upon it in these days, and that Thou wilt have mercy upon this land, and that Thou wilt come in revival power, and in revival grace, we pray. Do us good now, we pray. Take our eyes off ourselves, of man. Fix our eyes upon the Lord. And, O God, we pray this night through the going forth of Your precious Word that some soul or souls will look away from self and from sin and from the world, and that they will look unto Christ and be saved. Answer prayer, O God, for we ask these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Our Bible reading this evening is taken from the Gospel of Luke, which is the third book of the New Testament. We're turning to Luke chapter 18, the 18th chapter, and we're reading from verse number 18 of the chapter, just going down to the end of the verse number 30. And I would encourage you, wherever you are in your home, to get out your Bible and read along with us. And indeed, as you read, just pray that God will bless His Word and speak to our hearts through His Word this evening. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and the verse number 18. Let us hear the word of the Lord. It says, "And a certain ruler asked him," that's the Lord Jesus, "saying, 'Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother.' And he said, 'All these have I kept from my youth up.' Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, 'Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me.' And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, 'How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.' And they that heard it said, 'Who then can be saved?' And he said, 'The things which are impossible with men are possible with God.' Then Peter said, 'Lo, we have left all and followed thee.' And he said unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, a life everlasting.'" Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 30. And our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of His eternal and infallible Word to all our hearts. The text of Scripture I want us to consider and look at tonight, it is a question that you find there at the end of verse number 18 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. And the question is this: "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, it is a fact of life that you and I, we judge people by their speech. Yes, it can be said that a person's dialect can really show you and tell you where they have perhaps come from in life, where they have grown up, where they have lived. Also, the words of a person, they tell you something about their character and about how they live. Indeed, at the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was said to Peter, "Thy speech bewrayeth thee." In other words, his speech, it showed that he belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. By speaking about man's words and the witness of those words regarding a person's life, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things." And there Christ is saying that a person's words really highlight what kind of a person they are. Well, the words of our text this evening here in Luke chapter 18, verse 18, are words that really give us an insight into the character, indeed into the thinking, into the reckoning of this rich young ruler who meets with the Lord Jesus Christ while he was here upon this earth. Upon meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ, this young man, he asked the Lord a question. It is the question of our text, verse 18 of Luke chapter 18, when he said, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And in answering this question for him in verse 22, the Lord Jesus Christ, he speaks to him. And he says, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And by the cost of being the Lord's disciple, it was too much, it was too high for this young man. For look at verse 23 of the chapter, it says, and when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was rich. And in Mark's account of this, he says of this rich young man that he went away grieved. He went away from the Lord. You see, the problem with this young man was that he was not prepared to yield to the gospel. He was not prepared to yield to Christ and the claims of the gospel upon his own soul. And this is the reason why many in our world tonight are not saved. Speaking of such, the Lord Jesus Christ says in the Gospel of John, he says, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. And there he's speaking to people who are unsaved. And he says, the reason why you're unsaved is because you will not come to me. You will not yield to the gospel and come to me for salvation. Dear friend, let me ask you the question tonight. Is this the reason why you are still not saved? Is it so that you are unwilling to yield to the gospel? Yes, you have heard the gospel. You know the gospel inside out. Yet you're not prepared to yield to the gospel. Is it the case tonight that you're not saved because you're not willing to come to Christ and to trust Him as your own and personal Savior? Was it true of you tonight as it was true of those many years ago when Christ spoke to them and said, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life? Now, tonight I want us just to look at this question here in verse 18 of Luke chapter 18, where it says, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? The three things here I want you to notice from this question regarding this rich young ruler. First of all, we can say that this is a question that shows us that this rich young ruler, that he believed in heaven. He says, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Notice the mention there of eternal life in this question. And that really shows us here that this young man, he believed that there was a heaven. He believed that there was a place of glory. He believed that there was a place of life eternal. Yes, from the very dawn of time, there have been many who have denied the existence. They have denied the reality of heaven. We can say that such thinking, no doubt, has increased through the eye and the false teaching of evolution. The evolutionist says that whenever a person dies, that is really just the end of them. That's the end of their life. That's it, full stop. Well, that was not the case here with this young man. Here was a young man, and he believed in eternity. He believed in heaven, the place of eternal life, the place of glory. Here was a young man, and he knew that there was more after this life, that there was something else after this world, after this scene of time. Why, we can say here that his belief in heaven, it was but the same as the dying thief who was crucified beside our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what he said to Christ when he was being crucified? He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He knew and he believed that there was a place called heaven. Hence he made that request to Christ, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, dear friend, please understand this, that there is more after this life. Look at what Christ says there in verse number 30 of Luke chapter 18. He says, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time? Notice these words, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Notice that little phrase there, the world to come. Christ there is speaking to you and I about eternity. He's speaking to you and I about what lies beyond the grave, what lies beyond the scene of time. He talks there about the world to come.
Oh, friend, as you listen tonight, understand this, that this rich young ruler here was right in this matter, that there is a place called heaven. Yes, after this life, there is eternity. The Bible makes that very clear. It says this, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Notice again that phrase there, after this. It speaks of something more beyond the scene of time. Job asks the question, he says, but man dieth, and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? And again, by those words, Job is telling us that there is something more after this world, something more after this scene of time. And this is what this rich young ruler believed when he said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He believed in eternity. He believed that there was a place called heaven. The Bible makes that very clear to you now. That's the teaching of the Scriptures, that there is more after this life. There is eternity. Eternity, eternity, says the hymn writer. Where will you spend eternity? Eternity, yes, consists of one of two places. It consists of God's heaven. It consists also of hell. That is what you have in eternity. You have heaven on the one hand or hell on the other. And what is hell? Where is hell? Hell is that place of endless punishment and judgment for the unrepentant sinner. And you cannot escape this as you read the Bible, as you read the Word of God. The Gospel of Luke, Christ warns you and I of this very fact. In Luke chapter 16, if you just turn back a little bit from our Bible reading tonight, just go back two chapters. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 22 and verse number 23. And there the Lord Jesus Christ tells you about another rich man. And he says, the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. There Christ warns you and I of hell, of the place of judgment, the place of endless, eternal punishment for sin. And friend, can I say this? This is where you will spend eternity. Make no mistake about it. If you die unsaved, if you leave this world and leave this scene of time an unrepentant sinner, no matter who you are, no matter what church you belong to, no matter what religion you are affiliated to, this is where you will spend eternity. If you leave this world unsaved as an unrepentant sinner before Almighty God. May the Word of God warns you about hell. You read the accounts of Christ here on earth in the Gospels. Time after time after time, he warns you and I. He warned the people who heard him as he traversed this world, the scene of time, as he preached, as he taught. He warned them of the wrath to come. Make no mistake about it, in eternity there is a place called hell. But there's also a place in eternity called heaven. What is heaven? Where is heaven? Well, heaven is the place of eternal life for all who are saved by God's grace, all who have repented of their sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ, again here on earth through his public ministry, he spoke of heaven, of that blessed place for all who are saved, for all who have repented of their sins. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, in the verse number 3, he says there to his disciples about heaven, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And there he speaks to you and I about the absolute certainty of heaven. And Jesus says, I am the truth. He is the one that always spoke the truth. In heaven there is no sin. The Bible shows you and I that. In heaven there is no sickness. There is no darkness in heaven. There is no death in heaven. There is no devil in heaven. It is a place of eternal fellowship with Christ and a place of eternal fellowship with all God's people, a place without any separations. The psalmist David was looking forward to heaven. It was the hope of God within his soul. And in Psalm 16, verse 11, he says this to the Lord, "In thy presence there is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." The psalmist there was looking forward with joy and anticipation and expectation to being in heaven one day. The hymn writer says, "There is a land of pure delight where saints immortal reign. Infinite day excludes the night, and pleasure banishes a pain." Oh, friend, as you listen in tonight, realize this, that there is eternity. There is a lost eternity in hell. There is a saved eternity in heaven. And if you are to be in heaven, no matter who you are, make no mistake about this, you must be saved. The Bible says you must be born again. It says in John chapter 3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Oh, if you are to be in God's heaven, you must be saved. You must be born again. Yes, this question here, it shows us that here was a young man who believed in heaven. Tell me tonight, do you believe in heaven? Do you believe in heaven? Do you believe that there's more to this life, that there's something after this life? As Christ says there in verse 30 of this chapter, there is a world to come beyond this world, beyond the scene of time. Eternity. Where will you be in eternity? Will you be in God's heaven? Will you be lost in hell? Yes, this young man, he believed in heaven. But the second thing to note about this question, it is this. This question also shows us that this rich young ruler, that he wanted to be in heaven. He had a desire to go to heaven. And you see that from the question that he puts to the Savior when he says, "Good Master, shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And those words really show you that this young man, he wanted to be in heaven. He wanted to go to heaven after he died, after he left this world. The words of that question there in black and white show you here was a young man, and he wanted to be saved from hell. He wanted to be in God's heaven. He wanted to be in that place of eternal life, everlasting glory, everlasting bliss. And can I say this is the best desire anyone can have? Here was a young man and he had this desire. Young person, as you listen in tonight, is that the desire of your soul to be in heaven? Older person, as you listen in tonight, whatever your background is, wherever you are, let me ask you the question, is it your desire to be in heaven? I tell you, this is the best desire, the best burden and ambition that any one of us can have. Now, sadly for many in this world, yes, they have ambitions, but their ambitions are not fixed on being in heaven. Sadly for many in this world, their ambition, what is it? It is material gain. It is material wealth. It is the amassing of the world's goods, the things of this world, the things of time and sense. Their ambition, their burden is the applause of the world, the fame of the world, and all that they can amass from this world and from the scene of time. That is their aim, that's their ambition, that's their goal in life. And here was a young man, and he wanted to be in heaven. He wanted a place in heaven. Hence he says, "Good Master," he's speaking here to Christ, "what shall I do to inherit the eternal life?" He had a blessed desire. He had a good desire here to be in heaven. Tell me, is that the desire of your soul tonight? To be in heaven. If I were to speak to you personally, would you say, "Yes, I want to be in heaven someday. I want to be in heaven after I leave this world and leave this scene of time." You read through the Bible and you'll read of others as well who had a similar desire. Back in the Old Testament book of Numbers, there you read about a man by the name of Balaam. And he too had this desire, for this is what he says. He says, "Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." And from those words you see, there was a man by the name of Balaam who wanted to be in heaven. He wanted to be in that place of everlasting life. The psalmist David, the sweet psalmist and singer of Israel, he too had that desire. And he expressed it many, many times in the Psalms. Then in Psalm 27, he says this, he says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That was the desire, the passion of a soul, to dwell in heaven forevermore. Again, over in the New Testament, you read of the Apostle Paul, the man who was saved on the road to Damascus, and he too had that desire to be in heaven. For he said, having a desire to depart, he says, to be with Christ, which is far better. And again, from those words, you see, he had a burden, he had a desire in his heart to be in heaven one day. Oh, friend, tonight let me ask, what is your chief desire in this life? What is your chief desire tonight? What's the desire of your heart, your soul, your mind? This is an important question for you to face and to think about and to consider. Is it your desire to be in heaven one day? Is this the chief burden, the chief desire of your soul? Or is it the case that your chief desire is to live only for this world? And for the gain of this world and the applause of this world. Maybe I'm speaking to a young person tonight. And your mind, your ambition is not set on heaven. Your mind, your ambition is set upon this world and what the world can give and what the world can offer. And my, that's the desire of your heart, to go after all that the world can give. Well, let me say to you tonight that the Word of God is a warning for you if that's your desire. It says the pleasures of sin, yes, the pleasures of this world are but for a season. In Luke's gospel, you read about a young man who left home, turned his back upon his father, turned his back upon his father's inheritance. He went off into a far country and he lived an ungodly life. He spent his substance in riotous living. And what does the Bible say about him? It says he began to be in want. He went down the way of folly because he chose the things of this world. Listen to what Paul says about this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, he says, "The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Get a hold of that. Let that truth rest in your soul tonight. The things of this world, they do not last. They are fleeting. They are transitory. They are passing. But the things which are unseen, they are eternal. By those words, yes, they show you and I very clearly that the things of this world, they do not last. Nothing in this world lasts. When we die, you and I, yes, we must leave them all behind. When we leave this world, we leave everything behind. It has often been said, and rightly been said, there are no pockets in a shroud. And when we die, we leave them all behind. Yes, death will sever us from everything we have in this life. It will be taken from us in death. The Bible says, for riches are not forever. All the things of this world, they do not last. Turn with me in your Bible back to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. And look at verse number 5 of that chapter. Look at what it says, Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 5. Here's a word for you tonight. If you're running after the world, if your ambition, your desire is upon the world, upon the sins of this world, the pleasures of this world, the fame of this world, all that the world can give. It says, "Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings." Notice it. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. What's the Word of God telling and teaching you and I? It's teaching us thus, that the things of this world, the things that we might make our gods and make our idols, as it were, wrap our arms around, they're taken from us. And friend, everything you have in this life will be taken from you in death.
You will take nothing with you from this scene of time in death. Riches are not forever. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, again there the Lord Jesus Christ tells us about a certain rich farmer, a well-to-do farmer, nothing wrong with that, working hard and getting on in business. But the thing about this rich farmer was this: all that concerned him was his wealth. All that he was taken up with was his estate. And that really was his goal in life. That was his God in life. Nothing else really mattered. And God spoke to him in verse 20 of Luke chapter 12, and it says this: But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? God called him a fool. Why? Because death was coming, yes, for him. And also because he was only concerned about the here and now, what he could see, what he could gather. And he had no thought of eternity, no concern for his soul. He had no concern about the world that is to come, about eternity after this life, after this scene of time. Dear friend, tonight as you listen to this message, this is a warning here to you from the Word of God. Really, God says to you through His Word, He says, do not set your affections upon this world, upon the things of this world. Rather, the Word of God says to you, it says, set your affection upon God. Is that where your affection is fixed tonight? Is your affection fixed upon God, the Lord? God says in His Word, set your affection upon heaven. Is that the desire of your soul to be in heaven? It says, set your affection upon His kingdom. Is a burden the passion of your soul for the kingdom of God? You remember what Christ said to His disciples? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Think of the words of Paul in Colossians 3, verse 2. He says, set your affection on things above, not on the things on this earth. Why does he say that in his word? As the word of God proclaims that message, why? Because this world is fleeting. This is a fleeting world. It's a decaying world. It's quickly passing. Whereas heaven is eternal. Heaven lasts. Listen to what Peter says about heaven over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse number 4. He says, there heaven is an inheritance, notice it, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Heaven lasts. Heaven is real. Heaven is certain. Heaven is sure. Friend, tonight as you listen, I pray that the burden of your soul is to be in heaven one day. This young man, he believed in heaven. This young man, from this question, we see that he had a desire to be in heaven. One final thought here from this question. This question here in Luke chapter 18, verse 18, it shows us here that this rich young ruler, sadly, was greatly deceived. You might say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, look again at his question. He says to Christ, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Notice those words there. What shall I do? There you see the deception of this young man, the deception of his heart. You see, this young man, he thought that there was something that he himself could do personally that would merit heaven, that would merit life evermore and a place in God's glory. In fact, you'll see from his conversation here with Christ further on down the chapter that he boasts in his character. He boasts in his good works. He boasts in his supposed keeping of the commandments of God. In verse number 20, you'll see that Christ there speaks to him. And he says to him, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, and do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father
and thy mother. And you see that immediately following that in verse 21 that this young man, he says, how he's kept these commandments from his youth. He says to Christ, all these have I kept from my youth. That really gives away the deception of this young man's heart. For such boasting here really shows the problem of his heart. And what was that problem? The problem was this. It was the fact that he would not admit in the presence of Christ that he was a sinner, lost and undone before Almighty God, before a holy God. You see, the Bible makes it absolutely clear that there is none of us who can keep the law of God perfectly. That is something that man cannot do. The only person ever to keep the law of God perfectly was Christ. But man, whoever he is, wherever he is to be found, whatever color, creed, or class, or nationality, he cannot keep the law of God perfectly. You turn in your Bible over to Romans chapter 3, and you'll see that for yourself. From verses 10, 11, and 12 of Romans chapter 3, here you have a fundamental statement about mankind as a sinner before Almighty God. It says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none, notice it, that doeth good, no, not a one. And there you see it very clearly spelled out for you in black and white. That none of us, not included this rich young ruler, none of us can keep the law of God perfectly. Here is a young man, and he says these words to Christ in verse 21 about the commandments of God. All these have I kept from my youth up. He was showing the deception of his heart. He was not prepared to admit and to acknowledge that he was a sinner before God. And there is a reason why he, and there's a reason why you and I and all mankind have broken the law of God. And it is due to this fact that we are born, each one of us, into this world with a sinful heart, a sinful nature. Psalm 51 verse 5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. This was the case with this young man. He was born into this world with a sinful heart, a sinful nature. And this is the case with you and I also. Each one of us are born into this world with a sinful heart, a sinful nature. That which we have inherited from Adam and Eve and through their fall in the Garden of Eden when they disobeyed God and took the forbidden fruit and yielded to Satan. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. Yes, here was a young man, and he was not prepared to admit and to own up to the fact that he was a sinner before God. You read this passage. Look at his conversation with Christ. Not once does he take the sinner's place before Almighty God. He boasts supposedly of keeping the commandments of God. Also, his boast here about keeping of the commandments of God, it shows you that here he was, and he was really boasting, yes, in his works. Here was a young man, and he thought that somehow his good works would fit him for heaven. And again, God's word makes it very plain that good works cannot save us, no matter how hard we try, no matter if they're done with the best will and intention in the world. Ephesians 2 verse 9 says that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, see the deception of this young man. He would not admit that he was a sinner. He boasts in his works, thinking that somehow they might merit him favor with God. But how wrong he was. And then in verse number 22, you see that Christ again engages him with further conversation. Here you see the mercy of the Lord to this young man, the compassion, the patience of the Lord with him. For here the Lord tells him to sell his possession. Not only that, but he tells him something very fundamental in the gospel. He says to him, come and follow me. Look at verse number 22. Look at what he says there in the middle of verse 22 to him. He says, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Then notice this statement. And come, follow me. What does that mean, to come and to follow Christ? Here Christ was calling this young man to salvation. This here phrase, to come and follow Christ, it means he was being called to trust Christ as his Savior and to obey him as his Lord. And this was the crux of the matter as far as this young man and getting right with God was concerned. Christ says to him, come and follow me. But sadly, and you can read the other accounts of this and the other Gospels, and you'll see the same thing coming out. Sadly, this young man was not prepared to heed this call to come to Christ and to follow Christ. Look at verse number 23. It says, and when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Mark chapter 10, verse 22, it says this, and he was sad at that saying, and it says, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He went away from Christ. He was so near, yet he was so far. He was almost persuaded, but he was lost. He went away from the Savior. And turning away from Christ, he was refusing Christ that day to be his Savior. In going away from Christ, he was forfeiting God's salvation. He was turning his back upon God's salvation. He was forfeiting a place in God's heaven. This was crucial for this young man. And in turning away from the Lord that day and going away from Christ, he was sealing his destiny. Sealing his destiny to a lost sinner's hell. What a tragedy. We could say this is the tragedy of tragedies. Here was a young man, looked full of promise. He had a right aspiration to go to heaven. He believed in heaven. But when it came to the matter, he was not prepared to come to Christ and to follow Christ and to trust him as a Savior. You look at what Christ says to him there in verse number 22. What a warning he gives him. He says, yet thou lackest thou one thing. Yet lackest thou one thing. What was lacking in this man's life? What was lacking in his heart? What was lacking in his soul? It was this. He was lacking saving faith, saving trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The all-important matter was missing from his heart, missing from his life. Friend, tonight let me say this, that if you are still unsaved, then I urge you, heed the warning that Christ gave to this young man when he said, yet lackest thou one thing. Could it be the case that this is the Lord's word for you tonight? Yes, you're religious, you're decent, you're upright, you're faithful, you're loyal to your church, and you could add all those things to your list of credentials. But as God looks into your heart, and I tell you tonight, it is what God sees that counts. Man looketh on the outward appearance, God looketh on the heart. And as God looks into your heart, as he looks into your soul tonight, does he also say to you, as he said to this young man, yet lackest thou one thing? What do you lack? It is this: saving faith, saving trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. I tell you this, when you come to die, when you come to leave this world, whenever that will be, wherever that will be, and that could be a lot sooner than you may think, that's the only thing that matters. Have you faith in Christ for salvation? Are you resting upon Christ? Are you trusting in him alone for salvation? You know, if you are to be wise in God's sight, then you must acknowledge your need as a sinner before God. You must take the sinner's place. This was something this young man did not do. But notice earlier on in the same chapter, there was another man who did do this. He is a publican. Look at what he says in verse 13 of Luke chapter 18. He says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And the publicans were despised by society. Yet here was a man. Maybe he was young, I don't know. But he said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He acknowledges, he admits he's a sinner.
you're to be saved, if you're to be wise, you must take the sinner's place before Almighty God. And my, you must realize that your only hope of salvation, your only hope of heaven is through Christ. Through faith in Christ alone and in his finished work upon the cross for your salvation. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. That speaks of Christ. Speaks of salvation only in and through Jesus Christ. What did Christ do to provide a way of salvation? He came to this world. He was born in Bethlehem's manger. He traversed this world, the scene of time, and he went to the cross of Calvary, of ignominy, of agony, and of shame. Suffered and bled and died, poured out his life unto death. He gave up the ghost as a ransom to God for sinners. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, where he'd tell me tonight, do you see yourself as a sinner? Do you see Christ as your Savior, as your only hope of salvation? I pray that you do. That your eyes will be open to this great truth. And with that realization, may you come to Christ. Oh, you must come to him. You must trust him. The mark of those who are saved is that they've come to Christ, that they've trusted Christ, that they've called upon Christ for salvation. You turn with me in your Bible over to Acts chapter 16 and to the verse number 30 and verse number 31. In verse 30, you read about a man who wanted to be saved. He wanted to be in heaven. He said to Paul and Silas and Philippi, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And you notice what they said unto him in verse number 31. It says, they said, believe. Nothing else but trust in Christ. Believe on. He was to rest his faith upon Christ, upon who Christ is, what Christ has done. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. The way for his household, his family also to be saved, was the exact same. That of believing on Christ. You go back to the passage that we've read and been looking at tonight, Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 26. The question is asked, who then can be saved? It says of Christ, he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Yes, as far as man is concerned, salvation is impossible. You cannot work your way to heaven. You cannot work your way into salvation. But praise God, salvation is possible with God, God's way. That way is true as Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by putting your faith, your trust in him. Oh, without faith in Christ as Savior, you're lost. You have no hope. You have no help. But praise God, through faith in Christ as Savior, you can be saved. You can be ready for heaven. You can be sure of heaven. This night, don't you be like this young man who went away from the Lord, who turned away from Christ, who would not listen to the call of Christ and the gospel. You come to him tonight, wherever you are. Just bow your head in prayer to God. Confess your sins to him. You don't need to be in a church building to be saved. You can be saved right now, wherever you are, in your home, your car, wherever, your bedroom. Get down on your knees. Confess your sins to God. Tell him you're sorry for your sin. Thank God for sending his Son to be your Savior, to die on the cross for you. And with faith, yes, just simple childlike faith, you call out to the Lord, ask the Lord to save you, and you'll find him no disappointment. For Christ says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Thank you tonight for listening. May God bless his word to your heart. May you be saved for time and eternity by trusting Christ. We're going to close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us tonight and help given in the preaching of thy word. Bless thy word, bless thy truth to hearts tonight, to the encouragement of your people. to the restoration of backsliders. But, O Lord, use it, we beseech of Thee, in faith to the salvation of sinners, for the glory of Christ. Answer prayer, and bless Your word to our hearts. And, Lord, bring glory and honor unto Christ this night, in the saving of precious, never-dying souls. In His name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen.